Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Ed Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! So it is. It is. The 9 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming online at WQAM.com. Get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell. Can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. Oh, you know what? I figured this out, Solana. We were just talking during the break. So for MLB Players Weekend, players are going to wear nicknames on their jerseys. They've done this in the NBA before, but Major League Baseball is getting in on the act. We were looking through the list, and we had thought that that Giancarlo Stanton's nickname was going to be Papito, but then I saw in the Miami Herald it said Cruz, which is his middle name, Michael Giancarlo Michael Cruz Stanton. Papito is Justin Bour. He's Papito on the nickname list. Let's see which ones I like for the Marlins. Dad for AJ Ellis. Bear for Kyle Bearclaw. El Nueve for Jose Ureña. Oh, this is perfect. Weigh-in, like spelled W-E-I-G-H-N for Weigh-in Chen. That's great. The Big Bear for Marcelo Ozuna. Oh, this is stupid. JT Riddle will just have JT on the back of his jersey. Couldn't be more creative than that. That's literally your name. Even if it is your initials, you go by JT Riddle. Got to do better than JT on the back of the jersey. Yelly for Christian Yelich. It makes sense. Ellie for Brian Ellington. Miggy Rowe for Miguel Rojas. That's all right. Witty for Nick Whitgren, although I think he's stealing Chris Whittingham's nickname, though. Timo for Tyler Moore. Ichiro's is kind of boring. Ichi, just I-C-H-I. Literally the first four letters of his name. That's pretty dumb. You could have done better than that. But how about this one? This has people surprised. Manny Machado of the Orioles, he's Mr. Miami. Miami. But Manny Machado, you don't play for the Marlins. You're Mr. Miami. Mr. Miami should be a Marlin. You know, it's not Mr. Marlin, Jeff Conine, but Mr. Miami. A guy who plays in Baltimore. That's an insult to me. Even more insulting than that is the fact that 58 players around Major League Baseball didn't choose a nickname and chose to just use their regular last name. That is lame as hell. Can you find me like any of the, like, are there any like really well-known good players? See if you can find me who's not using the nickname.
Off the top of my head, the only one I remember right now is Lester. I believe it's John Lester.
Yeah.
He's not using a nickname.
Wow. I mean, there are some bad nicknames in here, like JT Riddle just to be JT. That's not a nickname, dude. That's literally your initials, and you go by that as your name. But it's even worse to not choose a nickname, I think. That's lame. Itchy. First four letters of your name. It's pretty lame, too. But at least he's using a nickname. I thought I would see more Ichiro fans, or at least like outward, overt Ichiro fans when I was in Japan. I saw one guy actually wearing an Ichiro jersey, and then I saw another guy wearing just a generic, not even Miami Marlins, old Florida Marlins t-shirt, and I assume he was wearing that because he's an Ichiro fan. But I think those were the only two people I saw 2 weeks in Japan who seemed to be Ichiro fan. I thought he would have more support over there. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gordon in Miami. What's up, Gordon?
You know what's even more lame? You were rolling off these Marlins players. I've never heard of these guys. I mean, I could name you five players on the Marlins.
It was easy for me reading off a list, but I know what you're saying.
I could, seriously. If someone put a gun to my head and said, name me five Marlins players, I'd be dead. If someone told me to name two Panthers players, I'd be dead.
Can you imagine that scenario? So you've got a home invader, Gordon. Like, what if this happens in real life? You have a home invader. He, like, duct tapes you to a chair in your house. He pulls out a Glock. He puts the gun to your head and says, Gordon, I'm going to give you one chance to survive this encounter. And you're thinking in your mind, oh, God, what can this be? I hope
how
he's not.
Money? How much money can I give him?
Right. Like, how much money can I give this guy? And he comes out and says, Gordon, you can leave with your life if you can name for me five Miami Marlins. And you might as well just say, you know what, bro, just pull the trigger. I don't even have to try.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine if he said one Panther player, I'd be in big trouble. I'd say Paul Laws, you know, but Brian Scrooglin, you know,
John Van Beesbrook.
The Beezer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, and the other thing, no more Colin Kaepernick conversation. I mean, it's over. He's never coming here. He was never going to come here. Yeah. He was shot down immediately internally from my inside sources that I have. I've got pretty good ones. It was never going to happen. They never wanted that. They never wanted that baggage. It's just bad PR for the Dolphins. They don't need it. They want to play football. They don't have to deal with this guy. And about the Canes, every time I have a couple of my friends are just geeked out on Hurricane football.
As am I.
And it's like, I get these emails and I get these stories about, you know, these recruits coming in and this guy's looking great in practice. And I'm saying to these guys, I'm like, guys, we don't have a quarterback. And I'm tired of people telling me that the Hurricanes are back. When the Hurricanes are back is when they'll have three or four guys going in the first round of the NFL draft. But until that happens, until they've got real pro projected first round picks, they're not back. They're just not back. Period. So you tell me on that roster in the next 2 years, this year and next year, I want at least three guys that are just locked, just total lock first round picks. And if you can give me those, if that's going to happen, then they're back.
I think this is a good exercise. Okay, so I'll give you a couple guys. All right.
I want for sure. You know, just automatic first round pick.
Amon Richards for sure is one, the wide receiver. No doubt in my mind about that. Shaquille Quarterman.
What is he, a freshman? What is Richards?
He's a sophomore. He could leave after next year.
Okay.
He's a first round pick. Okay. I go the same for Shaquille Quarterman, sophomore linebacker.
Do you think he's really going to be a first round pick?
Yes. Oh, no. With Amon Richards, I have zero doubt. He's going to be a first round pick.
Quarterback that's going to throw him the ball?
We'll talk about that in a couple months, but no,
he's not going to have the numbers you think he's going to have because they're not going to be able to throw the ball to him. We've got no quarterback.
But the ability was already shown last year. I think Amon Richards, even if the quarterback's not great, I still think he has a very good year. He's a first round pick to me, no doubt.
That's one.
Shaquille Quarterman, first round pick, no doubt. Heading into a sophomore year at linebacker. Yeah. He's got the size, he's already got the ability. At 19 years old, he's going to be a future first round pick, no question in my mind. I'm giving you a lot of young guys. No coincidence, because some of the best players on this team were freshmen last year. Joe Jackson, defense. I'm getting a little less confident, but I think he's a first round pick as well.
You're talking about guys that are two or three years away from actually, you know, developing into that. So I mean, I don't know what everyone thinks, but if they win eight games this year, everyone should be happy. Eight wins, 8-3, and because they're going to lose to Florida State, they're going to lose. There are games they're going to lose because they don't have the quarterback who can go on the road and win games. I mean, they don't have a guy.
But how do we know that though? We don't know that, Gordon. Like, I understand you criticizing people for.
I'm not criticizing. It's reality. You're going to expect a guy who hasn't been on the who started. Everyone's putting their hopes on an 18-year-old kid to go in there and just light it up. It's not going to happen. What does that happen here?
The defense is going to be great, and the running game is going to be great. They can win even if the quarterback is not great.
Wait a second. The defense is going to be great.
Absolutely.
When the offense goes three and out all day, all night, they're going to be on the field, the defense, and you're going to expect them to be great?
So you don't think Mark Walton is moving the chains at running back? That could be another first-round pick, by the way. I know that running backs don't often go in the first round. He could be a guy.
Let me tell you something. I'll bet you everything you own he's not a first-round pick. And I can tell you this. If they've got a quarterback, who can't throw the football, how is this guy going to – they're just going to go at these guys. They're going to put 10 guys on the defensive line. There's not going to be any running lanes.
How do you sleep at night when you're this negative on Canes football? How do you go to sleep?
I'm not negative. Eight wins should be – everyone should be just going nuts.
After winning nine games last year and the schedule's easier this year, eight wins would be a catastrophe. I don't want to talk about eight wins this year. Eight wins might as well be six wins.
Nine wins with a guy that everybody thought was all world and Heisman and was like all world when he wasn't. He was the most overrated quarterback in the history of the University of Miami.
Yeah, and they still won nine wins with that guy, so they can win nine games with the new quarterback.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. I mean,
I can tell you don't see it. You don't see a whole lot right now.
I don't see it at all. There's a lot of talent, but it hasn't. But it's still new talent. It's great. We've got these five-star recruits, but these guys that are all coming in are not ready to play against Florida State.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of guys. Listen, I got to let you run because you're making my head hurt. Some of your best players, though, are guys who were true freshmen last year and played great and are going to be sophomores this year. You would have had more concern about the youth last year. Remember what we were talking about a year ago at this time? I was sweating bullets because you're going to have three starting linebackers who were true freshmen. Quarterman, who I think is a future first-round pick, Pinckney, who might not be far behind him, and McLeod. They were fantastic last year as true freshmen. They're going to be studs this year as sophomores. Joe Jackson going to be a stud. Chad Thomas going into his senior year, excellent player. Kendrick Norton, a defensive tackle, excellent player. He got transfer defensive backs. Dee Delaney is looking like the next big thing right now. The defense is going to be solid. Right? Okay, if you don't have an elite quarterback, yeah, you're not winning a national championship. But this team, I think, can win double-digit games with Sheriffs, Rozier, but probably Nikosi Perry, I think, is the guy. How do you sleep at night? Texter writes in. Don't let him outclass you, Alex, another texter writes. Well, I don't know, like outclass? Like we're just having a discussion. Outclass. He clearly doesn't think, okay, there are some sports fans, and I get it. If you've been a Dolphin fan for decades and a Hurricanes fan for the last decade, it can make you negative about stuff. It can, right? That you need to actually see a team win 10 games before you believe they can win 10 games in college. So Gordon is not going to come around on that until the Canes actually show him they can do it. But you can't also write everybody off because you feel that way. Texter writes in, I love all these guys that say, quote, I'm not negative, I'm just realistic. BS, you're a terrible fan and we don't want you. No, I don't agree with that. I mean, terrible fans are people who don't watch and don't engage. Those are terrible fans. Like, terrible fans are people who don't care. Even if you're negative, at least you care enough to talk about it. That's my thing. Right? To be a terrible fan is somebody who's apathetic. That's the worst thing you can be in sports. To not care one way or the other. That's a terrible fan. I'm not going to call Gordo a terrible fan just because he doesn't have a sunny disposition. The guy actually cares. He's got a pulse about sports. I respect that. Do you see yourself rooting for the Bucks after watching Hard Knocks last night? They play Miami first game. Well, no, I don't see myself rooting for the Bucks, but I do like Jameis Winston. It goes against every fiber of my being. Like, what sense does that make? I'm a University of Miami homer, lifetime fan of Canes football, UM alum. Yet I am a fan of Jameis Winston because I think he's entertaining. I think he's a great teammate. I think he's a great fiery locker room guy. And I think he's already been splendid on Hard Knocks and is going to be the talk of the season until Meiko Grimes shows up. Because Meiko Grimes, like they teased her for the next episode, it's going to become the Meiko and Jameis show. Not so much the Brent Grimes show, because Brent Grimes he's not interesting, doesn't talk about anything. Miko's the one who steals the show there. The Alex Nodder Show continues next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Shows.
over the last year on Kaepernick. Like, I pick my spots with that. But I think about Kaepernick sometimes because I do think he still has potential to be a very good player. It was only, what, 4 years ago that he was on a team that reached the Super Bowl and was a big part of that success. So, yeah, he's fallen from grace. A lot of that has to do with owners not wanting to sign a player they are afraid is going to lose them business and advertisers. I understand that. I also think he can still be a productive player. But don't you think Kaepernick can help his cause by being a little bit more open, speaking a little bit more, explaining himself? Like, I'm not saying he has to apologize. Like, no, because I, you know, with the national anthem protests, like, I don't think you have to apologize for exercising a constitutional right in a silent form of peaceful protest. But I do think you can maybe explain a little bit further that, hey, like, and he said this a couple of times, but I think if you're more open about the idea that, guys, like, I'm not doing this to take a shot at the military. It's not about that for me. Here are my reasons. Please understand them. And then the other thing is, because this is what has direct effect on the Miami market. And again, I don't think that Kaepernick's politics were a big factor or any factor with the Miami Dolphins, because the Dolphins simply went out and signed the guy that knows Adam Gase's offense and has a relationship with Adam Gase. That was the factor there. The factor didn't come down to Kaepernick's politics versus Jay Cutler. It came down to, we want Jay Cutler because he already knows our head coach and knows his offense. I think that was the factor there. But, you know, I know the people in Miami, and rightfully so, you're wondering, like, where's my explanation or where's my apology for Fidel Castro being on your T-shirt? Because even if Kaepernick explains it, that was a T-shirt celebrating Malcolm X. Well, still, you have the face of Fidel Castro on your T-shirt. You need to explain or apologize to the people of South Florida for that. I thought the best point on this was made by our own Mark Hochman. I heard him say this on Monday, and it made a lot of sense to me. That, you know, for Colin Kaepernick to have the face of Fidel Castro on his T-shirt, even if in his mind that was a Malcolm X T-shirt, not Fidel Castro, to people in Miami, like Hochman said it, that, you know, that would be like having the face of Adolf Hitler on your shirt, even if Malcolm X was also on the shirt. You need to explain to the world, especially to Jewish people, why you have the face of Adolf Hitler, whatever you want to pronounce it, on your shirt. I think he owes that same explanation for Fidel to the people of South Florida. I thought that made a lot of sense, a ton of sense, that he needs to speak more. He needs to be more open about this stuff, right? Like, even if I don't think he did anything wrong with the national anthem protest, I think if he was more open and honest and candid about everything going on, more Americans may understand what he's all about. Like, I think he could help his cause a lot by being more open and being more candid about all this stuff. I really do. I really do. Let's talk to Mike on a mobile phone. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Alex? Listen, I had earlier texted you about, I had some friends in Denver that work for KOA Radio, and they work for the Broncos. And Irv Brown is a columnist out there in Denver, and he said, you know, Jay Cutler is the kind of guy that'll just tear your heart out, you know, and, you know, he's good enough, but I forgot exactly the exact quote, but I had texted it to you. My point is that, you know, if this had happened to Marino in his sixth year, everybody would be absolutely going bananas. They'd be like, oh, my God, we just lost the best quarterback.
Yeah.
But Tannehill, in his sixth season, he can't even hold a candle to what Marino has done.
Well, sure, so, but I mean, how many people can, though, to be fair?
Well, true. But for God's sakes, let's look at Derek Carr. Derek Carr's going into his third season.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And he's already got, like, accolades that are, like, naming him maybe the best next quarterback.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So Tannehill is 4 years behind that, and he hasn't done nothing. And so this move to Cutler is kind of like another thing where, like, you know, the Dolphins are like going to say, okay, we'll just take the next guy in line, whatever it might be. I you could say whatever you want, but, you know, all I know is that people at Denver were happy to see Cutler go, and they couldn't wait to see this guy. He was a coach killer. And that's all I wanted.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think Denver really got the worst of that. I spoke to a Chicago columnist and radio reporter a couple of days ago, who, you know, covered Cutler for 8 years in Chicago, and he noted that, you know, the early part of Cutler's Bears career, he really did resemble that. He did resemble early on a bad teammate. Coach killer, not a pleasant guy to be around. And then he did, I don't know, maybe around circa 2013, 2014, really started to turn a corner and mature. So I think, unfortunately, I can understand why those in Denver feel that way, because they got really, attitude-wise, they got the worst of Jay Cutler, because he didn't start to really grow up and mature until years after that.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Let's say Cutler has a great year. Is Miami going to really invest all that into a 35-year-old quarterback going into next year, when maybe Tannehill's going on 27, he gets the surgery done, and maybe
Tannehill's going to be, first of all, Tannehill's going to be 30 by next season. But
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Okay. It's all right. But no, here, let me address that. I appreciate the call. I think if Cutler plays fantastic, if he's dynamite this year, then he could become your bridge guy, right? Like, Jay Cutler could become the guy you decide. He's on a one-year deal right now, but if he plays great, then you could decide, okay, Jay Cutler becomes the guy who bridges our gap for the next 2 years or so before our next quarterback of the future comes in. So in that scenario, if Jay Cutler is great this year, if he's not, then hey, Tannehill's still your guy. But if Jay Cutler is great this year, I think the Dolphins strongly consider, this is my opinion, by the way, I'm not getting this from any inside sources, because everything I hear from the Dolphins are they are standing by Ryan Tannehill, but that's only going to go as far as what happens this season. Because if Jay Cutler is great, in my opinion, you consider cutting Tannehill loose. $17.5 million he's set to make next year. If you cut him, you only have $4.7 million in dead money. That's very doable. So then you cut Tannehill loose. You re-sign Jay Cutler for 2 more years. You draft a quarterback. You try and find your quarterback of the future. But is that gamble worth it, right? When the Dolphins say, you know what? Tannehill's always been a quick healer. He finally had this, we hope, this reconstructive surgery he needed. He's still going to be 30. That's pretty young by quarterback standards. But I don't know. If Cutler is great this year, I think you think about making him your bridge guy, and then you draft your next quarterback of the future, because Tannehill's going to be coming off a year and a half of not playing football. That creates a lot of uncertainty out there. Derek Carr, all caps, by the way, this text, very angry, very spirited. Derek Carr drafted in the second round. Ryan Tannehill drafted in the first round. You know what else I think hurt Derek Carr? I know this is what made the Houston Texans pass on him. Just being David Carr's brother hurt his draft stock. You know, people don't like to talk about that, but his older brother was one of the biggest busts in NFL history. A lot of that wasn't his fault, though, I think, because, you know, David Carr, when he was drafted first overall by the Houston Texans, an expansion team, no offensive line, no protection, was doomed from the start. But since David Carr was a bad NFL quarterback, not a good NFL quarterback, I think that caused a lot of people to write off the younger brother. So that hurt him as well. Maybe he would have been a first-round pick if his brother didn't suck. Let's talk to Alex in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to make 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
First, Jay Cutler, 11 years, one playoff appearance,
yeah,
one playoff win. Mm-hmm. Kaepernick, 2 NFC finals, 1 Super Bowl appearance.
Yep, no doubting the facts, sir. You're 100% right.
I was in the stadium last year when Kaepernick single-handedly beat the Dolphins.
Well, right he lost, but he almost single-handedly beat
almost
the Dolphins.
Almost single-handedly beat the Dolphins. Yeah. And so I know he's a better player, but I don't understand what Miami is doing. But I want to just address another issue that everyone is bringing up, the Cuban issue and the Cuban T-shirt that he wore. And now he has explained himself to Amando Segura. He has explained himself to everyone. Listen, I've been living in Miami all my life, and there's a dynamic here between African-Americans and Cubans no one wants to talk about. The Cuban people here have been indignant, dismissive, and disrespectful towards African-Americans.
Yeah, but in the case of Kaepernick, though, in the case of Kaepernick, when you are perceived as celebrating a dictator that killed people, broke up families, and was tyrannical for several decades, all I'm saying is, Alex, how hard would it have been for Kaepernick to come out and say, you know what, I'm sorry if I made a judgment call to wear this T-shirt. I didn't realize how it would offend people. I didn't mean it that way. I'm really sorry for what I've done. Like, how hard is it to say that? Instead, the guy doesn't show contrition for anything.
He said that. He said it was a Malcolm X shirt. Remember, I'm going
to But that was an explanation. That wasn't any form of apology. All he said was, you need to accept it because that was a Malcolm X T-shirt, not a Castro T-shirt. Castro was on the shirt. He was on the shirt.
Is this coming from the same group of people who took Nelson Mandela, one of the greatest love figures, and disrespected him, wouldn't even let him come in Miami?
I don't know what that has to do with this. Listen, man, I don't want to reboot decades long racial tension when I don't think it's relevant to this issue, right? Like, I don't want you to think I hung up on that guy because I'm afraid to dive in. Well, I kind of am afraid to dive into a racial conversation, but I have a clear reason not to, because I don't think it's relevant to this issue. Honestly, look, I don't think that that sort of racial tension has anything to do with people being upset over Fidel Castro being on your T-shirt. 1 + 1 does not equal 2 in that scenario to me.
And to be fair, Dono, you've been very open and very accepting of Colin Kaepernick's stance when it comes to him kneeling for the national anthem.
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure that this isn't like you just dismissing Colin Kaepernick just for the hell of it.
No, I'm glad you brought that up as well, because I just think he would do himself a lot of favors by explaining the Castro thing. Like, I think that would help him a lot in that regard. And you know, obviously, I don't think the Dolphins passed on the guy for political reasons. I think they passed on him because Jay Cutler can run that offense. You know, and he brought up the fact that, hey, Kaepernick got a team to an NFC championship and a team to a Super Bowl. You also have to remember who fits this offense. And Gase, you don't think Adam Gase wants to win? Let me ask you that. You don't think that Adam Gase, because there's not a long shelf life on NFL head coaches if you don't win. You don't think Adam Gase wants to win? You don't think he's making a decision to bring in the guy who gives him the best chance to win? I know Mark Richt wants to win. We'll talk some Canes football. Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post joins us next here on WQAM.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.